Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Our subject today is Teach Me Your Ways. Teach Me Your Ways. And the Bible text is from Exodus chapter 33, verse 13. It says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people."
Amen.
Amen.
Who can understand God? There are people, they say, "I can understand God," but actually they lie. Because if God was so small that we could understand him, he would be too small to cope with our big problems. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Wisdom has nothing to do with power or money. You can be a powerful person, wealthy and mighty, and be a fool. In our opening verse, Moses was talking to God, asking him to reveal his ways so that Moses could truly know God better. This request shows how important it is to have a relationship with God built on understanding and grace. Moses didn't ask for just a glimpse of God's power and glory. He asked for intimate knowledge of who God is. He wanted to fully experience God's presence. His request showed a desire to connect on a deeper level. This teaches us about the essence of faith, which involves seeking not just blessings or guidance, but a profound relationship with God, where we understand his heart and his ways. Just like Moses, we seek clarity and direction for our lives. It reminds us that when we approach God, we should do so with honesty and a deep yearning to know him. This openness leads to greater understanding, which in turn deepens our relationship with the Almighty. The inquiry of "Show me your way" shows humility. We are to recognize that we do not possess all the answers, and that realization opens our hearts to receive guidance. Moses deeply desired to see God's way for his people, and understood knowing God's ways was essential for guiding them effectively. In our lives, we often face challenges and uncertain decisions. In such times, like Moses, we have to reach out to God and ask him for wisdom and clarity. The phrase, "If I have found grace in thy sight," illustrates Moses' humility and acknowledges God's favor. He understood that none of his leadership could have been possible without God's grace. We have to remember to continually seek grace and recognize God's role in our lives. We often take steps and make decisions and often forget to bring our struggles and questions to God. Moses' plea, "Show me your way," serves as a heart's cry from anyone who desires to walk faithfully in God's plan. It is an invitation for God to guide not only our action, but also our understanding. Sometimes we may rush into decisions, but Moses shows us the value of pausing, praying, and seeking clarity. While we allow God to reveal His plans, we can build our lives upon a rock-solid foundation rather than on shaky grounds. This can transform not only our choices, but also our relationships, as we learn to align them with God's intended purpose. Let us find grace and know God's ways. True wisdom comes from being in a loving relationship with our Creator. Many times we find ourselves in challenging situations where we feel lost or fearful or anxious. We seek guidance amidst chaos, wishing for a clear path. Mostly we seek guidance from other people instead of from God. By observing Moses' tenacity in seeking God, we can apply a similar persistence in our lives, acknowledging that God's presence is what makes all the difference. Moses' relationship with God was one of deep trust and yearning for more. When we reflect on God's nature, we see that He is a God who desires to have communion with us. God is love, and He responds to us in love. God assured Moses of His presence, stating that He will indeed guide them. The connection reveals how God, amidst all the disobedience of the people, longs for a relationship that is restorative. From the example in both Moses and the way God responds, we learn that our plea to God can invoke His grace and mercy. The words, "Show me your way," show a fundamental desire for knowledge and wisdom. God's ways are higher than ours. In a world filled with confusion, knowing His path can illuminate our own. In Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us to trust in the Lord and He will make our paths straight. Seeking God's direction is not just about receiving answers, but engaging in a dynamic relationship where we grow in understanding who He is. When we recognize by seeking God's ways, we have the promise of His guidance, and through grace, we can fulfill our purpose and calling with courage and strength. We learn the power of humility when we approach God. By acknowledging our need for guidance and wisdom, we position ourselves in receiving His grace. This teaches us that it's perfectly acceptable to seek God's clarity in our lives. We should not assume that we have it all figured out. We should bring our doubts and uncertainties to God. Another lesson is the importance of relationship with God. Moses didn't seek knowledge for himself, He desired to understand God deeply so that he could lead others effectively. A walk of faith isn't just a personal for personal gains, but to influence and guide those people around us. As believers, we are called to be vessels of God's love. Understanding Him allows us to uplift others in their journeys. Many books have been published about prayer. Most write about how we can receive what we ask God for. Only few have been written about how to approach God. And hardly any have been written about knowing God. David had an urge to know God. In Psalm 27, verse 11, he wrote, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies." Again, he wrote in Psalm 25, verse 4, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long." We are waiting for the Lord. David had a longing to know God. And so he wrote in Psalm 86, verse 11, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Throughout Psalms, we read of David and his longing to know God. Also to know the way of the Lord. God gave command in Exodus that we should not make bad pictures of God. He knew that if we make a picture, we would only worship the picture. But also you cannot have a picture of God because you don't know how he looks like. Nobody has ever seen him. You can make a picture of Jesus because he was human. But even today, you don't know how he looks like in his glorified body. When the prophet Elijah wanted to see God, he was permitted to see only the back of God, but not his face. The man, a woman who sees the face of God would die immediately. That is about his look. What about his word, his mind? We know his mind only partly as we read the Bible. Paul wrote, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. And he was talking of mirrors 2,000 years ago. Today we have much clearer mirrors. In Job 36, verse 26, in complete Jewish Bible it says, "Look, God is great, beyond what you can know. The number of his years is uncountable." God is great, beyond what we can know. God spoke also through Isaiah, and I'm reading from New King James Version, Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's way is much higher. And so we have to ask him to show us his way. Paul wrote about the greatness of God in Romans 11, 33 and 34, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Version. "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unfathomable, inscrutable, unsearchable are his judgments, his decisions. And how untraceable, mysterious, undiscoverable are his ways, his methods, and his paths. For who has known the mind of the Lord? And who has understood his thoughts? Or who has ever been his counselor? God is so great. Mm-hmm. So great. Many people think God is a jolly good fellow who has to give what we demand of him. But if we begin to think and meditate on these verses, we begin to get a glimpse of his greatness. He is beyond anything that we can think or imagine. If you think of him as creator, remember he has made the microcosmos and the macrocosmos. When we think of the microcosmos, we think of our body. When you see blood, you see red liquid. If you look through a microscope, you see much more. And those who are trained, they can even find what in your blood, what you have eaten, what you have drunk. Think of your kidneys, the lungs, the liver. Each has their part to play, and each work together. Think of your mind. The mind directs every part of your body to function right. That is not by chance. This is not by chance. It has been planned and devised by a great God, by a mastermind. God has created also all the galaxies, all the planets, throughout the whole universe, without end. When you pray, how can you approach such a high God? There's none like him. We should refer him like that. He's not dependent on your church attendance. He's not dependent on your tithes and offerings. What he wants is your heart. When you attend church, you attend the house of God, the house of the great and awesome God. When you give tithes and offerings, you are first obedient to what he commanded, to give to him where he commanded to give it. He never demanded or commanded that you should give anywhere, wherever you like. He commanded to bring it to the house of God. When you think about this great God, you understand that your ideas have no value. When you say, for me it's all right not to go to church, you have to understand to whom you say that. To whom do you say that? You tell this great and awesome God that for you it's all right not to go to church, not to do what he says, not to visit him, not to talk to him, not to give to him. In Romans 11:35, Paul wrote, or who has first given to him, and he shall be repaid. Sorry. Who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to you. So how can you give anything to God that he has not already given to you? First, he is a giver, and out of what he gives, we give to him. Out of the time he gives us, we give time to him. God has no obligation to us whatsoever. It's us who have obligations. Having said all this, we come back to our initial text. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. When you pray, first pray this: teach me your ways. The disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Begin to ask for what you really need. Knowing the way will lead you to the place you are heading to. Knowing the way will prevent you from going astray. Many times I came across crossroads, I didn't know forward, back, left or right, I was totally lost. If I had known the way, I could easily have gone straight on and reached my goal. Knowing God and His ways will never prevent you from loss. Knowing God and His ways will prevent you from loss and misery. Knowing God and His ways will pay off. Don't live in your own ways, because you will finally lose. Ask like this: teach me your way, O Lord. Teach me your way and lead me on a level path. We have a need for God's presence in our lives. Like Moses or David, we can confidently approach God, asking Him to reveal His ways to us. This request creates a pathway for understanding divine guidance and drawing nearer to Him. In moments of uncertainty and trials, it's reassuring to know that we can place our trust in God, who will always lead us in the right direction. God desires a relationship built on mutual understanding and grace. When we cultivate this relationship, we find that our paths become clear. Amen.